fighting for America.
No hate in our state.
This is not about discrimination. This is about protecting the religious liberty of every Hoosier, of every faith.
The number one hashtag on Twitter is Boycott Indiana.
Fighting for Idaho.
I've always had a problem with eminent domain in any shape or form to have government take away property, regardless of what the excuse.
Fighting for you.
Good morning, Kevin. I just appreciate you being here, and I am very thankful for you. You're just wonderful.
Boise's Mr. Right.
Well, you found a home here.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Well, lo and behold, as we talked about, the deal with the Iranians and the Americans could be off for a while. Why does the president seem so heck-bent on dealing with the mullahs? Well, joining us now is Dr. Andrew Bostom to discuss. Dr. Bostom is a writer of many, many characters, Iran's Final Solution for Israel. Dr. Bostom, good morning.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, let's talk about this. You go back a ways. I go back a ways. Why are we cutting deals with, the successors of the Ayatollah Khomeini?
It's very hard to understand. To give the current administration the benefit of the doubt, at least in terms of theory, and as Yogi Berra was always quick to remind us, in theory there's no difference between theory and practice, but in practice there is. They seem to be reconstructing this idea from the Cold War era that despite the fact that Iran is no longer the Iran of the Shahs, which was that period from 1925 to 1979, where you had, autocracy, but westernization, secularization, and very anti-communist and also actually theocratic Shiite Islam in the case of Iran. So that was a pillar of stability that also pumped out a lot of oil in that period. Same thing in terms of Saudi Arabia. Unfortunately, always funding jihadism, but at least in the Cold War era, strongly anti-communist and, of course, a great oil producer. Obama seems to be, and his minions seem to be reproducing that idea, despite the fact that we now have an Iran that's, the major funder of jihad terrorism, largely from the Shiite perspective, and of course Saudi Arabia goes merrily along, continuing its support for Sunni jihad, and oblivious to these basic facts that these two regimes can be pillars of stability. I there's no other rational explanation for it, and it's very dangerous. It's just dangerous.
Why, apparently the Iranians haven't changed their thoughts with us, openly chanting death to America, and yet the administration, perhaps for resume building, wants to do what no other administration would have the guts or the foolishness to do, is to cut a deal with these guys?
Yeah, like I said, that's why, again, if you want to be generous, you have to say that they're operating under some sort of a delusion like this, that in fact, this can bring stability, and of course they'll immediately argue, look, they're helping us deal with ISIS, in Iraq. But it doesn't make any sense. And in fact, it's not a laughing matter. It's very dangerous. We see, as of today, it looks like from the AP report that I was reading this morning, that all that's going to happen today is that we're just going to continue to move the proceedings down the road. I mean, they've already been delayed. It'll now be a full year if it goes to June. There was supposed to be resolution in June of 2014. And all the while, we know from the International Atomic Energy Agency that there are very fundamental and alarming questions that haven't been addressed in terms of Iran's nuclear program and all its experimentation, including weaponization experimentations, and the whole history of all these clandestine sites only being revealed after, dissident groups or intelligence agencies, find them. There seems to be so many fundamental flaws to this agreement. And the other thing that's become clear is that Iran is insisting that its ballistic missile program not be considered in terms of these talks. It's now even, as you've probably seen the recent reports, it's now even declining to allow its stocks of already enriched uranium to be shipped out of the country. That was being discussed allegedly as part of the negotiations at some point. They're thoroughly rejecting that idea. And it turns out that enriched uranium, they already have enough, according to the Kennedy School estimate by Ali Heineken, who used to work for the International Atomic Energy Agency. They already have enough low-level enriched uranium, of course, it has to be further processed, to make 11 bombs. So when people talk about a breakout time, they keep arguing, well, it's because we've moved the breakout time from a few months to a year, or they claim that that's going to happen as a result of these negotiations. And they always talk about a weapon. It's not a weapon. It's according to the left-leaning Kennedy School, it's 11 weapons. And we had testimony recently from the Defense Department that Iran will have intercontinental ballistic missile capability by the end of this calendar year. That's our own Defense Department. And as a matter of fact, the Defense Department was using that as a rationale for gearing up our own missile defense testing. So it's a very baffling environment at this point when you put everything together.
It is, and the idea that, why do the scorpions sting you? Because I'm a scorpion, and I don't know if you watch, and you again, Iran's final solution for Israel. We'll get to Israel in a minute, sir. But you ever watch that Anthony Boudreau guy on CNN at all? The food guy.
Oh, in passing between basketball games, like during a commercial.
Sure. So I'm watching the show, and he's in Iran, and a lot of us have been fixated on this country, never enough to go there. So he goes there, and he's talking to the journalists, and they're slapping the people in Saudi Arabia. How about, hey, it's not so bad here. Well, the two journalists that he talked to that were good little Iranians, they were hauled away right after he left, one still imprisoned.
It's the nature of the regime. I would say more broadly, unfortunately, it's the nature of the society. We really, and it's another reason that there is no diplomatic solution to this problem. I hear in conservative circles, and it also makes me bristle. It's not nearly as bad as what Obama is doing, but the idea that the solution to the alleged solution to the Iran nuke problem is regime change. Well, regime change to what? I think people have a very warped understanding of what was going on in the summer of 2009, and I know Obama gets excoriated for not doing anything. But that was really an internal split within Khomeiniist factions, and some are pragmatists there, and some are what they call ideologues. But the population is still strongly behind the nuclear program. Even at the height of the sanctions, 63% wanted them to forge ahead with the nuclear program. 83% of the Iranian population, despite the ugliness of the Sharia as it's been reimposed in Iran. Iran was a Shiite theocracy from 1501 to 1925. Again, you have this period of about a little over 50 years where they westernized and secularized. And that's rejected in a popular, uprising. And they return to pretty ugly theocratic Shiite norms under the Sharia. Well, the theory was that perhaps the younger generation was sick of this, and that's what was going on in 2009. Well, I'm sorry to say that polling data don't indicate that. 83% of Iranians still want the Sharia to be the law of the land, and 72% don't think that there's evidence of religious fanaticism in the country. So that tells me, combined with this ongoing desire of two-thirds of the population to forge ahead with their nuclear program, that regime change, particularly to the Green Movement ideologues who are staunch Khomeiniists themselves, both Ayatollah Montazeri, who died in 2009 and is considered the spiritual godfather of the Green Movement, you read his writings and his public pronouncements, he's no different than Khomeini in terms of the jihadism, the infidel hatred, the anti-Westernism, anti-Semitism. The guy that's in prison now as the political leader for the Green Movement, Mousavi, same thing, same goal. So they have tactical differences, they have rivalries, I just don't see that regime change is the answer. I think the only thing that's going to potentially alter the trajectory here is a military strike. You know, and people don't want to hear about that, but that's the only thing that's going to alter the situation. And historically, you know, that's tended to work. When Nazi Germany was preempted, of course, that was part of a massive bombing campaign. Even Iraq during the Iran-Iraq War took out a primitive reactor in Iran. And then, of course, the two Israeli strikes on Osirak in Iraq in 1981 and then in Syria in 2007. You know, to this day, those four countries don't have nuclear weapons. So I just don't know what all the blather is about. I really think that we have to start getting some adults in policymaking positions and in executive leadership positions in this country, because this problem's not going to go away, and they are developing intercontinental ballistic missiles.
Let's go to the phones, Dr. Bostom, and we go to Tom in Nampa at 580KIDO. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. How are y'all doing today?
Great.
Got a couple of points the doc can correct me on if I'm wrong here. One, the Iranians are at least as nuts as the Imperial Japanese were in World War II. Yes, no.
I'm sorry for my voice, but are you referring perhaps to the idea of the martyrdom mentality?
To a great extent, but more like they don't care. They are convinced that what they're doing is perfectly acceptable in the eyes of Allah, and they're doing the right thing. That's one.
I think they have a goal. I would say that it's more like they have a goal. They really, if you look at the Iranian constitution, it's a jihadist constitution. It actually uses the word jihad. It talks about its goal as being to spread the sovereignty of Allah, not just, you know, locally or within the country or even just within the region, but globally. In other words, globally putting the world under the Sharia, under Islamic law.
Right.
And it talks about, it cites a Quranic verse, Quran 8:60, or the 60th verse, which talks about spreading terror in the hearts of the infidel. And what better way to do that than to threaten people with nuclear weapons?
Exactly. They want to cause chaos so the 11th Imam will come forth and lead the world jihad.
Well, even you know, look, there are strains within Iranian society. I don't want to get, you know, too much into the weeds here, but Shiite end of times theology tends to be more quiescent than Sunni end of times theology, which is much more openly aggressive, and you know the Jews have to be annihilated to usher in the Messianic age. In fact, classical Shiite end of times theology, it's really the Sunnis that replace the Jews. In other words, the Sunnis have to be annihilated. But typically, that has not been a very powerful motivation for Iran. There are more practical things that have motivated Iran, going back to the Safavid dynasty, which is the first, you know, really aggressive Shiite theocracy, beginning in 1501. A conquering empire. I mean, that's really what a lot of this is about. I mean, we've had testimony in the last month about huge inroads that the Iranians have made in our own hemisphere, in South America. So I think this is, you know, people can laugh and people can dismiss, oh, it's still sort of a primitive country. They have world domination designs that are completely independent of their end of times theology.
Tom, anything else?
Yeah, one thing about the U.S. is negotiating the way they are, they're not really looking for a solution. They just want to kick it down the road to the next administration, basically, so they can throw their hands up and say, hey, it didn't happen when we were running the show. These guys
unfortunately, I agree, but I think that's a bit of bipartisan failure, because that's exactly what the Bush 2 administration did. Because,
oh, yeah, no question. When these guys talk about diplomacy, what they really mean is, you can't pin this on me. They're just worried about their own.
I want to make clear that what happened during the Bush 2 administration was not as bad as this, but pretty bad. Because, for example, it turns out somewhere between 2007 and 2008, so in the waning years of the Bush administration, probably after Israel went attacked the Syrian reactor, which turns out to have been a good move, Prime Minister Olmert at the time wasn't the strongest Israeli prime minister, but he was good on this issue. He wanted flyover rights to attack Iran's known nuclear facilities at that point. And Bush, too, denied those rights, egged on by former Secretary of Defense Gates, because that was viewed to, quote, undo the great gains of the surge. So that was a terrible geostrategic blunder. And, of course, we've seen whatever was accomplished with the surge, you know, fall apart completely. But to Bush II administration's credit, at least they didn't sit down and negotiate the so-called right for Iran to enrich uranium. I mean, so we're dealing
sure.
with a worse situation
there,
now.
There was a line in the sand. Dr. Bossom, can you hang on for more? Or is your voice okay or not?
Yeah, I think I can do it. I actually have another appointment at 9:30 if my voice will hold up. But sure, I can do a few more minutes.
All right, we've got a couple more people that would like to speak with you. And certainly we want to talk about Israel's future.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Right now, talking about Iran's final solution for Israel with Kevin Miller here, Dr. Andrew Boston with us, and we'll go back to the phones at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Pat, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, you have a question?
I don't have a question. I have a comment, though.
Okay.
I believe that Obama is deliberately setting this country up for 10 years down the road. He promised that he was going to fundamentally change this country, and in 10 years... with he and Kerry making all these little deals, what's going to happen is that Iran is going to have the ability to strike us directly. And he will sit back and say, gee whiz, I'm the one that set that up. I believe that he is on the side of ISIS. I think that he doesn't say much about this because he is not bothered about it. And the Middle East being in turmoil fits right into his little plan with Iran. I wouldn't trust either he or John Kerry any further than I could pick up my house and throw it.
Well, Dr. Boston, what do you think?
I don't know. I can't really get into his motives. But the effects, I think, are potentially as devastating as the caller is suggesting. And I don't even think that we need to wait 10 years. Again, that's why I feel very strongly that we need the real regime change that we need is obviously in this country. And I'm not just talking about the Obama administration. I'm talking about in the policymaking classes, you know, the idea that we have to wait. And we didn't do anything about Iran when we were in Iraq, including even, for example, not bombing the known IED-producing factories right across the border in Iran when that was the major source of murder and mayhem for our troops, so maiming our troops, killing our troops with IEDs, and for some reason we did not bomb these factories. There's a certain rot in our policy making class that needs to be rooted out, or we're going to be in worse trouble over the ensuing years. I'm sorry, but I am going to have to.
Sure, Doctor. We appreciate it. Thank you, Pat. Thank you for the call. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
And And it is time for the award-winning Manly Man segment here.
Wait, what award did we win?
Well, soon to be award winning.
Oh, okay, I got that. We won something.
It could be.
I wanted a plaque.
Well, one can only aspire to have a plaque
That'd
on the wall.
Fantastic.
It would be. So here we are. Big news yesterday. The state Senate said no to eliminating the grocery sales tax, to giving a tax increase to the rich, and increasing the gas tax by 7 cents per gallon.
Did you say giving a tax increase to the rich?
Decrease? I meant decrease.
Okay.
But
I just wanted to make sure.
But I said increase.
All right. Was that like maybe a Freudian slip?
Perhaps.
You trying to raise taxes on the rich?
It's always do as I say, not as I do.
Okay.
You know, you caught me doing a Millerism when I'm watching television or listening to the radio and somebody does something like that. I go, no, you meant decrease, you dummy.
I'm sorry. It just slipped out. But I heard that. I thought maybe I misunderstood the bill.
See, Dave Burnett's paying attention.
I'm always paying attention,
which
Kevin.
Which makes one of us this morning.
Yeah. Happy April Fool's Day.
Yeah, you remember the old days when people would do April Fool's jokes.
What's that on your shirt? And then they flip you in the nose.
Oh, yes.
That happens here. The boss did that to me the other day, and it wasn't even April Fool's Day.
The big boss?
Oh, sure.
Really?
Came up in the hall. What's that on your shirt? And boink.
Man.
No, I'm kidding. He never did that. He didn't talk to me.
Sometimes that's not a bad
thing. Oh, yeah. I'm happy about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got the House is mad. Apparently now they're going to look for $150 million in new revenue, perhaps in gas taxes to fix the roads. Because they said, well, we didn't get it this time. You shot this down. We might have to go back and ask for more money. But it's kind of like at the end of, you know, how should we put this? It's kind of like, remember when you had a big test and you knew you were going to have a big test at the end of the month?
Mm-hmm.
And instead of putting in the legwork early on, you just kind of, you know, waited till the end. Isn't that what they're doing with this, trying to raise the revenue from the gasoline tax?
It's kind of funny. I mean, we heard talk about it back when they first got in session because, you know, the price of gas was coming down. So, you know, it's like, oh, look, we might have the advantage of sneaking it in when people think gas is $2 a gallon. So they were talking about it. But now it's down to the, you know, the nitty-gritty of it, I guess.
Well, and like I said, the governor very shrewdly saying, I'm not going to pit education versus transportation. It's up to the legislature. Unlike the president of the United States, who's, you know, kind of makes it up as he goes, the governor said, you know, we're going to let the legislature figure it out. It's the elephant in the room, and y'all can come up with how to eat that elephant. Good luck. Here's some A1.
Love the elephant meat.
Yeah. So that was the big news yesterday. Also, as we talked about, boy, a lot of car crashes.
It was wild.
Yeah. Nails on the road, a fatality. Oof.
Power outages.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the fatality, I mean, just a tragic story. A woman who was transporting 4 kids, 7 months to 7 years or 11 months to 7 years. And we still don't know exactly what happened. A single car crash went off the road there to Curtis down by in Garden City by Chinden. In fact, I was in that area about 5 minutes before that happened. I was driving up Curtis there. And then that happened. So pretty wild.
I remember we were watching on the traffic cam when that truck accident happened in Chinden, right? Chinden and Eagle? Or Chinden
and
State,
one with the nails?
Yes.
Let's see, was that one or was that a different one? We had a couple of them, but yeah, the one was at 16th and State where semi went over and dumped nails all over everywhere. It's like, really? All we need now is some, you know, some glue and chicken feathers. It was just a bizarre day yesterday. I was talking to dispatch earlier this morning. He said, let's hope today is not like yesterday.
Well, you know what the issue is?
What?
That everybody, you know, is in a hurry, going crazy, acting a fool, running red lights. It's scary.
Yeah, there's a lot of red light runners. There really is. I mean, we're not talking, oop, yellow. People that, not going to wait, and they'll just blow through the red light. It's like, really? I mean, if you wound up going when the light was green, you'd get hit.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's a lot of that. So stop that, people. Come on.
That and not paying attention so you might get rear-ended.
Oh, it's just a cell phone. Come on.
And what scares me, you got the adults and you got these kids that are, these two-lane highways, they're veering right at you.
Yeah, I saw it was, I'm trying to remember, it was one of the TV stations had a thing about teens and texting. Well, I got news for you. It's not about teens and texting, because parents probably do it too.
Oh, you know.
It's about people and texting.
Our friends at Channel 7 ran the texting driving course, and we saw Dee and Carolyn and trying to text and drive for public safety.
That's not good. I would not trust those women texting and driving anytime.
They hit the cones, and if you hit the cones, that's not good.
That's never good. I will openly admit that there was a time where I kind of would text and drive a little bit. Mm. I set it down. I don't put it anywhere near me. I had an incident where it was one of those look up and whoa, and I thought, you know what? That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. But so I'll openly admit it. There was a time, that was a couple of years ago. I haven't done that since.
There was a time when I was brokenhearted. Love wasn't much but of a friend of mine.
Wow.
Yeah, that's an Aerosmith song.
Mm-hmm. I was waiting for you to break into
bum,
singing.
Bum, bum, bum. No. That would be it for us. 544 here at 580 KIDO, so we have that going on. Indiana looks like it's going to capitulate. Any surprise there?
No, I just find it fascinating to sit back and watch the sports world in particular. We're not going to do that. We're not going to, is it Apple? Apple is coming down and crashing down on Indiana for their whole bill that they passed. But yet, Apple has a store. I was listening yesterday to a show. I was talking about Apple has a store in the Middle East in Iran. I wonder how they feel about Iran's gay policies.
Or China.
Yeah.
How about, the mayor of New York? Or the governor of New York, Cuomo, little Cuomo, has banned all non-essential travel to Indiana.
Yeah.
And here's the skinny on this. He's going to Cuba.
Yeah.
And the Cubas ain't down with the men with the men.
Yeah. Why are you going to Cuba if you won't go to Indiana, for now, crying out loud?
I know it's Cubans, but I like Cubas.
It's hypocrisy.
Or bad grammar.
Sure,
exactly.
Which is the same thing.
Right.
Only different.
Here's Governor Pence proving that he's no Governor Otter.
I don't believe for a minute that it was the intention of the General Assembly to create a license to discriminate or a right to deny services to gays, lesbians, or anyone else in this state. And it certainly wasn't my intent.
Don't mess with the gays or you're going down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll watch and see what happens in Indiana. But, yeah, the whole sporting world. Isn't that where the Final Four is at?
Exactly. By the way, something that could not be sung today.
Ain't no plans with a man. This is the 80s, and I'm down with the ladies.
As I've said many times, it would be replaced by this.
This ain't the 80s. We ain't down with the ladies. It's 2010. We're down with Kevin Miller and the men.
You okay?
I just find that amusing.
I guess so.
You have to laugh. The idea that I love that this religious freedom legislation is going to license people to discriminate against gays and lesbians and now transgenders, soon to be polygamists and others. It's kind of crazy. Who would do that in the age that we live in when you have the press that is seeking to gin up these stories, when you have everything else that happens? Who wants to bother with that?
It truly is, if you set issues aside, it's fascinating to sit back and to see how media works today. When I talk media, I'm talking everything from newspaper to TV to radio, the traditionals, to the non-traditional medias, and how it all functions as an organism today as opposed to 10 or 20 years ago. I mean, there's pluses and there's minuses both ways, but if you set this issue or whichever issue, it's fascinating to watch and see how it works. The late night shows, the influence that late night shows. Why would late night TV have any influence on society?
Well, it comes down to Saturday Night Live. When they were failing, they went into the political business. So.
Yeah, well, guess what? It's still not very funny.
I would agree with you. By the way, if you were in Indianapolis, this is what it'd sound like.
there is this preconceived notion that we are now not welcoming everybody. They won't stop in small towns like Zionsville. They'll just keep driving right through.
Right. You know, I've been to Indianapolis, and I was telling Ray Amaya this yesterday. That downtown, it's they have this huge, like right where the Capitol is, it's like this huge square. And they have this huge monument to the Civil War and everything. So that's where all these protests are happening. Indianapolis, I guess, is the capital of Indiana, right?
Oh, boy.
Well, it is until someone corrects
it. Is it Terre Haute? I don't know. I don't know.
Wherever Purdue is.
Could be.
South Bend. But anyway.
We'll say it is.
But you have everything concentrated there. So, you know, any protest that's going to happen, you know, kind of like when people used to go to the state house here and they'd have their meetings and such. That's just where it is, but it's a very condensed area. So, you know, you can have 100 people look like 1,000, but they've had tons of people there. And it's interesting because those folks there, I call it like the Northern Alabama. Most of those people that elected Mike Pence probably agree with him. But, you know, do you want to get rid of the Final Four? Do you want to get rid of Angie's List? And it's unfortunate in America today that you can't have a debate on the topic.
Yeah, I mean, I find it fascinating, and I have no issue with anyone. You know, you want to stand on the Capitol steps and protest your right to bathe with your socks on? Go ahead. I'm good with that. That's what this country is all about. But when it comes down to where people are afraid for their livelihood, for their careers, for their reputation, to be able to debate that, I mean, where your well-being is in jeopardy. I know of people who are closing down their social media sites because, you know what, they're done with it. They're just done with it. So, I don't know. It's amazing. You have the right to your opinion unless it's different than mine. That's kind of what it's coming down to.
Well, and again, the problem is you have the press that's not doing its job and just buying into it. The sports media, you know, with Charles Barkley and everything else saying these things. And there's a great article, and we'll share it coming up, from the Washington Times saying that this religious freedom law has helped, you know, Indians, have helped Muslims, have helped others to be able to wear their traditional religious garb.
True. But we'll see. We'll see whether they have a right to an opinion to do that.
Well, that's the issue. That's the issue when you're talking about this. The freedom to, I mean, is the gay rights movement all powerful that one's religion now, protected by the Constitution, is secondary? Okay, what happens? And I was thinking about this the other day, and gosh, we're going to have a profound thought here, hopefully. You know, what happens if you have a Christian school? Okay. And you have Heather has two mommies or Billy has two daddies. And they want to send their kid to this Christian school or a Muslim school or whatever school, a private school. Does that school have the right to say no?
I think back to a group, on my honor, I will do my duty to God and country, the Boy Scouts. Private group, but you don't have the right to say whether you know.
Right, and they meet in churches and temples and everything else.
So I would have to say, no, they will not have the right to
and
do that.
And then if we're going to go a step further, if all of a sudden you're a minister, a pastor, a rabbi, a priest, whatever, and you have someone come up and say, hey, we'd like to be married in the church. When's that lawsuit going to happen?
Well, it would not surprise me, and maybe you just spurred it on way to go, that somebody will think that and go, you know what, let's challenge that, and they'll set up the situation to try to get that challenged.
Well, there are certain rules to be married. Now, I'm going to tell you something personal, unless you want to go to traffic.
Oh, we're right there. We need to go to traffic. So
okay,
stay tuned.
Well, hopefully we'll forget about it tomorrow, but I mean, I'll just say this. In my church, you have to go through certain things to be married in the church. Or if you're, you know, divorced, which I was before I got married again, I couldn't get married in my church. I didn't sue the church. I accepted it. Will others do the same?
Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of Candy County.
John Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller.
on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Ain't no plans with a man. This is the 80s, and I'm down with the ladies.
This ain't the 80s. We ain't down with the ladies. It's 2010. We're down with Kevin Miller and the men.
We've got a perception problem here because some people have a different view. And we intend to correct that. After much reflection and in consultation with leadership in the General Assembly, I've come to the conclusion that it would be helpful to move legislation this week that makes it clear that this law does not give businesses a right to deny services to anyone.
There we have it. Coming up the other side of the story, Kevin Miller in the morning. That is Indiana Governor Mike Pence, at one time rumored to be running for the presidency. The problem with Pence now is he's upset the apple cart. He's upset religious conservatives for backpedaling on this issue, and you have the LGBTV community. They're upset just because this law went into effect. Seems like a lose-lose for him. We'll talk a little bit about that. And Harry Reid on what's it like to be a liar.
So no regrets about Mitt Romney, about the Koch brothers. Some people have even called it McCarthyite.
There you have it, quickly to traffic. And my name's Kevin Miller. Coming up, we get ready for Holy Week with former ambassador to the Vatican, Francis Rooney. Stay tuned.